Okay, as we're getting things set up here, you can open up in your Bibles to Judges 15 as we're going forward in our reading together. Okay, so we are in Judges chapter 15. If you would please stand as we read God's word together. Judges 15. But after a while, in the time of wheat harvest, it came out that Samson visited his wife with a young goat and said, "I will go in to my wife in her room." But her father did not let him enter. And her father said, "I really thought that you hated her intensely, so I gave her to your companion. Is not her younger sister more beautiful than she? Please let her be yours instead." Samson then said to them, "This time I shall be blameless in regard to the Philistines when I do them harm." And Samson went and caught 300 foxes, and took torches, and turned the foxes tail to tail, and put one torch in the middle between two tails. Then when he had set fire to the torches, he released the foxes into the standing grain of the Philistines, thus burning up both the shocks and the standing grain, along with the vineyards and groves. Then the Philistines said, "Who did this?" And they said, "Samson, the son-in-law of the Timnite, because he took his wife and gave her to his companion." So the Philistines came up and burned her and her father with fire. Samson said to them, "Since you act like this, I will surely take revenge on you, but after that I will quit." And he struck them ruthlessly with a great slaughter, and he went down and lived in the cleft of the rock of Edom. Then the Philistines went up and camped in Judah and spread out in Lehi. And the men of Judah said, "Why have you come up against us?" And they said, "We have come up to bind Samson in order to do to him as he did to us." Then 3,000 men of Judah went down to the cleft of the rock of Edom and said to Samson, "Do you not know that the Philistines are rulers over us? What then is this that you have done to us?" And he said to them, "As they did to me, so I have done to them." And they said to him, "We have come down to bind you, so that we may give you into the hands of the Philistines." And Samson said to them, "Swear to me that you will not kill me." So they said to him, "No, but we will bind you fast and give you into their hands. Yet surely we will not kill you." Then they came with two new ropes and brought him up from the rock. When he came to Lehi, the Philistines shouted as they met him, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him mightily, so that the ropes that were on his arms were as flax that is burned with fire, and his bonds dropped from his hands. And he found a fresh jawbone of a donkey, so he reached out and took it and killed 1,000 men with it. Then Samson said, "With the jawbone of a donkey, heaps upon heaps, with the jawbone of a donkey I have killed 1,000 men." And it came about, when he had finished speaking, that he threw the jawbone from his hand, and he named that place Ramoth-Lehi. Then he became very thirsty, and he called to the Lord and said, "Thou hast given this great deliverance by the hand of thy servant, and now shall I die of thirst and fall into the hands of the uncircumcised?" But God split the hollow place that is in Lehi, so that water came out of it. When he drank, his strength returned, and he revived. Therefore he named it En-Hakkore, which is in Lehi to this day. So he judged Israel 20 years in the days of the Philistines. Thus reads the word of God. You may be seated. Judges 15:14. When he came to Lehi, the Philistines shouted as they met him, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him mightily, so that the ropes that were on his arms were as flax that is burned with fire, and his bonds dropped from his hands. As we continue our reading of the book of Judges, we are given the account of the means by which the Lord was ruling and overruling in the time of the judgment of the children of Israel. This was because of their lack of following through with all his holy and righteous and sovereign commandments for their benefit. The whole book contains numerous accounts of how the Lord would raise up a judge within the various tribes of that nation for the honor of God's name. As we will see, the Spirit of the Lord would awesomely shine forth through each judge in order to manifest God's grace and mercy and his salvation upon these his people. Please turn in your Bibles to Judges 3, 8 through 11, as we will once again consider one of the earlier judges who was raised up by the Lord. This was in order for God to establish the reminder within the hearts of the people as to who he is and what he had done and would continue to do for them. In the course of God's work in his people, the Lord often used those neighboring nations to cause the hearts of the people to return to him once more. The Israelites had turned away from him in sin and idolatry, playing the harlot with the gods of the other nations. Therefore, God brought forth his consequential and righteous judgment through the oppression at that time of the king of Mesopotamia. He was given rule over them for a prescribed number of years. This would last until the people would remember the Lord God Almighty and would call out to him. This is when the Spirit of the Lord came upon Othniel with all the power to provoke deliverance from this oppressor. Judges 3, 8 through 11. Then the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel, so that he sold them into the hands of Cushan-Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia. And the sons of Israel served Cushan-Rishathaim 8 years. And when the sons of Israel cried to the Lord, the Lord raised up a deliverer for the of Israel to deliver them, Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he judged Israel. When he went out to war, the Lord gave Cushan-Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia, into his hand, so that he prevailed over Cushan-Rishathaim. Then the land had rest 40 years, and Othniel, the son of Kenaz, died. Notice that the Spirit of the Lord was actively providing what was needed through Othniel, the nephew of Caleb. There was peace upon the land as Othniel provided the conduit from God to his people for their day-to-day operation within the land. The inherent object of this was that the people again turned to God and had called out to him for their deliverance. It may be judged, using the vernacular of this book, that the people had put away their harlotries and their idolatrous heart for this period of time. That would be indicative of the reality that there was rest in the land. That rest could not have been there if the majority of the people were still serving the Baals of the surrounding nations. We could also infer that Othniel would not tolerate such behavior, as he was the servant of the Lord, looking after the Lord's interest within this people. He is not given as much detailed description as we had with Moses and with Joshua. But being the nephew of one of the faithful spies who served the Lord, it could be presumed that his heart was after God. That is why the Spirit of the Lord came upon him and made him the deliverer for that period of time. There had to be some activity within him that precipitated such a call from God that Othniel answered, even against all the odds of the king of Mesopotamia who had enslaved this people for those 8 years. The next judge that we will revisit is Gideon. Please refer to Judges 6, 34 and 35 as we see that the Spirit of the Lord came upon him to cause Gideon to raise up an army to fight the Midianites. Here once more the people had turned away from God and had returned to practicing the evil and despicable actions of the Canaanite nations. They were rampant in their adultery to the point of causing the Lord to bring upon them the slavery to the Midianite hordes, who raided and destroyed all the works of their hands in crops and herds and flocks. Therefore, they once more cried out to the Lord for their deliverance, and God called Gideon into action to stir up the forces that would destroy the vast and countless numbers of those Midianite oppressors. Judges 6, 34 and 35. So the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, and the Abiezrites were called together to follow him. And he sent messengers throughout Manasseh, and they also were called together to follow him. And he sent messengers to Asher, Zebulun, and Naphtali, and they came up to meet them. We are well familiar with the account of how the Lord then reduced the number of that army of Gideon to just 300 men. This was in order to show that it was the power of God that would defeat the Midianites, not the power of the hand of any mortal man. The destruction of those who had so plundered and pillaged the people of God was fully in place because of the work of God alone. This was evidenced in the Spirit of the Lord working through Gideon. There was no denial that the deliverance was directly from the hand of the Lord God Jehovah. Therefore, once again, the people turned back to God for a season. The next judge upon whom the Spirit of the Lord became very evident for our consideration is Samson, with whom we started this morning. Please turn to Judges 14, 5 and 6, where we have the account of Samson as he was attacked by a lion. It was the Spirit of the Lord who was his deliverer in this explanation of how a man could kill a lion with no weapon but his bare hands. This is but one time that the Bible details that the Spirit of the Lord came upon Samson, his wonders to perform. The Lord used this impudent and impatient and rash and angry individual to destroy countless numbers of Philistine oppressors of the Lord. Judges 14, 5 and 6. Then Samson went down to Timnah with his father and mother and came as far as the vineyards of Timnah. And behold, a young lion came roaring toward him. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him mightily, so that he tore him as one tears a kid, though he had nothing in his hand. But he did not tell his father or mother what he had done. Again, it is vital to see that the credit for it all needs to be centered in the Lord and not in the power of the man. To consider Samson, one must see all the flaws and all the faults and the behavior and the attitude of one whose opinion of himself is completely set in opposition to what we would consider to be a Moses or a Joshua or a Caleb. There is cockiness about a conceited opinion of who he was in the whole scheme of the history of his people. He toys with his victims and his enemies. He baits them and he deals with them in manners that are rather shocking to us. Yet, there was a heart that wanted to serve the Lord, as will be evidenced in our continued reading about his exploits. It had to be there, and it had to be the Lord who gave him the power to deal with all the numbers of the oppressors and enemies that were arrayed against him. As long as he kept himself in the customary behavior and dedication as a Nazarene, Samson was empowered by the Lord to deal such severe and brutal blows to the Philistines. It was when he set his heart on his own desires and his lusts that he became the same as the other people of Israel. His eyes were focused on the things of this age rather than on the glory of God. Yet, his heart harbored that place into which the Lord would instill the power, the awesome power for the deliverance of the people from the overwhelming strength of their tormentors. Another who had the heart, that heart after the Lord, is the psalmist. There is psalm after psalm recorded in the Bible which declare that the Lord is to be desired above all else. These are scriptures, as with the totality of the Bible, which are inspired by the Holy Spirit being upon the writers of the books. They are God's divinely inspired word to us to instruct us in the way in which we are to be a testimony of who God is in all his omniscience and omnipresence and omnipotence. All of these attributes of God are fully invested into God's blessing upon those who call out to him and who will respond to his guidance and to his sovereignty. That was the case with each of the judges. Some maybe to a greater extent than others, but in every one of them, there was always a response to the Spirit of the Lord. The psalmist outlines this heart, which is necessary in all who are so called by God, as in Psalm 51, 1 through 13. Psalm 51, 1 through 13. Be gracious to me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According to the greatness of thy compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done what is evil in thy sight, so that thou art justified when thou dost speak, and blamed when thou dost judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, thou dost desire truth in the innermost being, and in the hidden part thou wilt make me know wisdom. Purify me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness. Let the bones which thou hast broken rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from thy presence, and do not take thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of thy salvation, and sustain me with a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners will be converted to thee. This is the heart that responds to the Spirit of the Lord as He comes upon us and as He works His glorious and eternal ministry within our beings. We are made completely new in Jesus Christ through this wondrous and awesome work of the Lord God Almighty by the majesty of His hand in operation in our lives. The prophet Zechariah summarizes this for us in Zechariah 4, 2 through 6. It is as the Spirit of the Lord shows forth the majesty and the splendor of who God is and what needs to be changed from within our lives that we can attest fully to this so great love of God. Zechariah 4, 2, 6. And he said to me, "What do you see?" And I said, "I see, and behold, a lampstand, all of gold with its bowl on the top of it, and its seven lamps on it with seven spouts belonging to each of the lamps which are on the top of it. Also two olive trees by it, one on the right side of the bowl and the other on its left side." Then I answered and said to the angel who was speaking with me, "What are these, my Lord?" So the angel who was speaking with me answered and said to me, "Do you not know what these are?" And I said, "No, my Lord." Then he answered and said to me, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts." This omnipotent and omniscient, omnipresent Lord in us is for the life of Jesus Christ to be seen by all those who are in our sphere of influence. It is manifested for the sake of the glory of God and not of mankind in any measure. Therefore, as we are so indwelled by the Holy Spirit, we need to recognize that we are involved in something far beyond any human power or ability. As it was shown to the prophet, the course of the walk of those who are redeemed must be by the power and the presence and the wisdom of God alone. Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. The absolute necessity of coming into this reality is highlighted by the Apostle Paul in so many of his letters. It is brought directly into the course of this morning's discussion in 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 7, where the true measure of the need for the Holy Spirit as the guide of the course of our walk on this earth is brought forth in unfailing clarity. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 7. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. And we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And we are ready to punish all disobedience whenever your obedience is complete. You are looking at things as they are outwardly. If anyone is confident in himself that he is Christ, let him consider this again within himself, that just as he is Christ, so also are we. Our sojourn on this earth is to be a fully operational testimony that we are being led by the Holy Spirit. As He moves us, we proceed in complete obedience and under His omniscient and omnipotent direction in this spiritual warfare. This will be against all those forces that would try to besmirch and hinder the spread of the good news of the victory of Jesus Christ over all sin and death. The writer to the Hebrews brings this to the forefront in terms of calling to mind many of those men and women of God upon whom the Spirit of the Lord came with all His power and might to deliver those who were in such need of relief and freedom and rest and peace and salvation. Please open to Hebrews 11:32, and we will read through to chapter 12, verse 2. Hebrews 11:32 through chapter 12, verse 2. And what more shall I say? For time will fail me if I tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who by faith conquered kingdoms, performed acts of righteousness, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, from weakness were made strong, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection, and others were tortured, not accepting their release, in order that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others experienced beatings and scourgings, yes, also chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were tempted, they were put to death with the sword, they went about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, ill-treated, men of whom the world was not worthy, wandering in deserts and mountains and caves and holes in the ground. And all these, having gained approval through their faith, did not receive what was promised, because God had provided something better for us, so that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. We are fully encouraged to go on in Christ through the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit in order to bring the full length and breadth and height of all glory and majesty to God alone. This is all the earthly manifestation of the sovereignty and the splendor that is brought forth when we trust and when we obey the Holy Spirit's guidance and operation within our lives. Our minds and our hearts and our souls are His to command with full obeisance and fealty unto Him for His glory alone. So be it. When he came to Lehi, the Philistines shouted as they met him, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him mightily, so that the ropes that were on his arms were as flax that is burned with fire, and his bonds dropped from his hands. Amen.